Crosstalk Radio is sponsored in part by Love Work Recording Studios. Whether you need recording or mixing and mastering services, Love Work is all about quality and customer service. Check them out at theloveworkstudios.com or give them a call at 678-953-2170.
Hey, this is Erica Combo, and you're listening to Crosstalk Radio with Big Pudge and Steph Swig, where the talk is real and raw.
Talk about stuff people don't want to talk about nowadays. I want to address the elephant in the room. I want to be thought-provoking, open-minded.
Crosstalk Radio.
Yeah, we got fans from Japan all the way to the Netherlands. Yeah, we got fans from Japan all the way to the Netherlands. Yeah, we got fans from Japan all the way to the Netherlands. We got fans from Japan, all the way to the Netherlands.
We coming through like it's season two. Hit you with the crosstalk, yeah, you know how we do. Changing the world one show at a time. We the salt of the earth, bringing light to your mind. Universal conversations. We appreciate the love we got back from every nation. Really, it's an honor that y'all listen to us. Cause Big Pudge and Steph Swig will give it to you. Transparency, spiritually, life lessons and politics, the ultimate greed. What I'm saying ain't no boundaries. When we at this table, bringing awareness to the things we see. So rest yourself and enjoy the show. You're guaranteed to be intrigued by this Crosstalk Radio.
Oh, oh. We got fans from Japan all the way to the Netherlands. Yeah, we got fans from Japan all the way to the Netherlands. Yeah, we got fans from Japan all the way to the Netherlands. We got fans from Japan all the way to the Netherlands.
Welcome back to Crosstalk Radio. This is your man, Steph Swig.
This is your man, Big Pudge.
Thank you.
Appreciate
thank
y'all.
Man,
appreciate
thank you so
y'all,
much.
Man.
Thank you so
we
much.
Love y'all as usual. Man.
Yo, I'm super excited to be here. We got another great episode for y'all. As always, we keep the great episodes rolling, yo. So we got a topic today that will minister to a lot of people, I'm sure, because we live in a society where everybody's busy. And sometimes we can be too busy to even live. You know, we don't have no time for ourselves. And how do we not have time for ourselves, Pudge? We do want to make our own schedule. That's a rhetorical question.
Yeah, right. How about I say? I'm like,
But you know, this is the topic coming straight from Pudge, y'all. So if y'all like the topic, it's all. No, I'm kidding.
He loves to take them shots, don't he? You know what? We should do a show one day where we're going to go back through all the list of shows we did and tell the world how we previously felt about those shows before we did.
Yo, we did a couple that we didn't feel, but hey, people like them.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm just thankful to be here, man. I'm just having a great time, man. How about you, man?
I'm good. You know what I'm saying? I have no complaints. You know what I'm saying? Today been a rocky day, but you know, like me and you was talking before.
Patience, that's what you're talking about.
Yeah. No, patience is what I got. You know what I'm saying? Okay. It's just, you know, sometimes God do things and you don't understand. You know, and you be trying to figure out why. What is the reason for this test right here? Because I've been doing good lately, and I ain't been doing nothing wrong, you know.
I hear you, man.
But, you know, it is what it is. I mean, that's my daddy. I'm his son, and I'm going to go through stuff like that.
I'll be wondering the same thing. God, why? God, you see me. Why? That's why I just stop asking why. Like, God, show me how to pass this test so I don't have to go through this.
Whatever I'm supposed
to learn from this test, please let me learn it the first time around. I do not want to go through this again.
Now, I've learned. Now, when I say I'm no longer hard-headed, I believe in, you know, getting nuggets and learning lessons out of situations that happen. So, when something first happened, it's like, why God? And it's like, okay, you know, you may find out why later, but that ain't what I really want to know. What I really want to know is, how do I get out of this?
Yeah, exactly. You know? How do I get out and how do I not get back
in? Right, how do I not get back in? Yeah. And do you plan on having me here for a minute? Because I don't want to be here for a minute.
You know, somebody said something to me, and I always think about, I love positivity and positive sayings and stuff that encourage me throughout the way.
Uh-huh.
And I had a colleague of mine. You know, he said something. I can't remember what he asked me, but I said something about the word problem. He said, no problems, no such thing as problems, just opportunities.
That's good.
And I spoke to him. That's good. That's a good point, because every problem is an opportunity for something.
It is.
Every single problem.
It is.
Every challenge is an opportunity for something, whether it be patience, whether it be a lesson learned, whether it be a chance for you to show your true character or someone to see your true character.
That's true.
It's always an opportunity when you have a problem. Despite, if you can absolutely actually realize that during the time of your problem, we can handle things differently. Like, if I'm like, dang, this is a problem, I can't believe this crap. How am I going to get over here? How am I going to do this? Car broke down. It's an opportunity for something. Opportunity for God to do something, opportunity for your faith to grow. It's an opportunity somewhere in every single problem, every single challenge, no matter what's happening. From firsthand experience, I can say some of the worst things that's happened to me was my worst case scenarios, but at the end of the day, it was an opportunity in there somewhere.
Yeah. Always an opportunity for you to learn some kind of lesson. Mm-hmm. The key is learn the lesson.
So my prayer chance from God, help me, God, help me to learn whatever it is you want me to see during this time. If my test is too long, I start wondering, God, what is it that you want me to learn? What is it?
What am I missing? Yeah, exactly. What am I doing wrong?
I'm doing something wrong. I do not want to repeat this test. This test sucked.
Right.
I don't want to repeat it. Tell me what I'm missing. Show me, please.
Right, because I'm doing something because I feel like I've been enduring this a little too long.
Yeah, exactly. I must be doing something wrong, or I'm just completely missing what you're trying to teach me. So please tell me what I'm doing wrong. Or just tell me how to pass. Either way.
One of the two. Just something so I can get out of this situation.
And this wig and pudge again. We ain't even talk.
We still ain't even got on the actual topic yet. But like we say, man, it's just conversation. We have a conversation before the conversation.
That's it. You know, like I said, like we always say, this is crosstalk. It ain't no format. Like, we have a topic and we get around to it somehow, form or fashion. That's typically how we do it, right, Pudge? That's the format of our show. The format of our show, there is no format.
All right, so I was talking to a friend, real close friend of mine, the other day, and
shout out to close friends who have no names on the show,
which we do that a lot. Oh my God, Kevin, you just did that.
He's just trying to name people. That's what's funny to me.
Right, that's what it is.
A close
literally,
friend of mine.
See, we spent too long on the friend part. See, next time it's going to be like, I was in a conversation to just talk. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I was talking to someone the other day. And this
right, happened. See? Yeah. I can't believe we just did all that. So you made me forget my whole train of thought and where I was going.
And they were sharing with you something about their life or being too busy or something along those lines.
Yeah, they were sharing with me about how they don't have time to do anything that they want to do. And I was having a conversation with someone earlier that week where they were pretty much saying the same thing between his kids and his kids having all these activities after school, soccer, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. chess program, and him having to work 14 hours and being a single father on top of that.
Mm.
He's just like, I don't see how in the world I can find any kind of time to do something for me, because I legit, my schedule starts at 5 in the morning. It doesn't end until 9:30 that night. Mm-hmm. And by that time, mm-hmm. the only thing I want to do is take a shower and go to sleep.
All right.
So, of course, naturally, I think we all have experienced something like that. I know I have. You have. So, this is the show where we're going to... What? You give me the title, because you came up with the title.
Too Busy to Live.
Man, that is so good.
Too busy to live.
Now,
I like that. I'm getting all excited.
Yeah. It's really dope, man. Too busy to live. So we are here to kind of help you figure out how you can live, or give you some kind of rose to the map to where you can find time to yourself.
Exactly.
And, you know, you can get that peace of mind that you need, because everybody needs peace of mind. Even if you're in a happy relationship and kids is happy, everybody's happy, everything is happy, mm-hmm. you still need time to yourself so you can breathe, so you can rest your brain and not think about anything if you want to.
Man, let me jump in on that real quick, because I am an advocate for taking care of yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not something I've always done. I know I was supposed to do that at times in my life, and there's times I did not do that. To the point where I just like literally shut down, cut my phone off for weeks. Y'all don't got those tests. Hey, I'm taking time for me. Don't call me if you need me between these hours this day. You will not get me. So, but at the end of the day, y'all, seriously, if you love people around you, it is our responsibility to take care of ourselves enough to keep us in a position where we help us to be in a position where we can take care of those around us. You get what I'm saying? Catch mm-hmm. that. So if you are out of shape, not out of shape, but if you're out of order, you don't have the peace of mind because you're not taking care of yourself, you can't take care of others, or you're going to allow them to run you to the ground. So love people enough around you to take care of yourself first, to keep you in a position where you can take care of them.
Right.
And it's not easy to do, and it's just a weirdest thing, man, that we live in a society where rest is considered something that somebody can skip. You know, I hear people say, I'll sleep when I'm dead. And I keep on thinking, if you don't sleep now, you're going to be dead sooner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't care what people say. I will sleep when I can. And I don't like sleep. I like to be well rested. And I know I'm not productive when I'm sleeping. And I know I'm not productive. And that's not how our bodies are even designed. Our bodies are designed to rest.
To rest. You're supposed
your
to
mind
get at least
needs time to rejuvenate.
It does.
So I know when I get tired, I get the stupider I sound, man.
Yeah, and they're sleep deprived. You start getting real silly and, or start talking sideways.
Yeah. And that's not healthy. That's actually out of order. You're supposed to take care of your temple. Seriously.
Yeah.
I'm not going to preach to you, but I'm just saying I want people to get that perspective to understand that to not take care of yourself is to neglect others around you in a sense.
And it's not healthy physically.
Not at all.
For your body. It's not mm-hmm. healthy physically, internally. You know, outward, you may be feeling like, you know, you're fine and you're all right and whatnot, but you're actually neglecting a mental state part of your mind that mm-hmm. wants to relax. Your brain sometimes wants to do nothing.
Yeah.
But relax itself, which is where meditation coming at. Now, mm-hmm. some people do meditate to start their day off, and you can get to the point where, I mean, some people meditate all day long because you just have to, depending on what your schedule is, or you know, who people are going to be around, certain energies around you and stuff like that. But it's very unhealthy mentally, physically, psychologically for you to neglect yourself. And that's neglecting yourself in all of those aspects
mm-hmm.
because you need some type of freedom to get one of those things out the way. If you do, like I said, if you do nothing but just, at the end of the day, go home and just sit on your couch and do nothing for the hour, but just sit there.
And that's totally okay.
Yeah.
Totally okay.
Completely okay.
You know, I had no problem with that. You know, I just know I am a better person when I'm well rested. I'm a better person when I'm not overworked, which is, like I said, which is easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to do, but life is better. Look, when you, if you like me, then you, it cuts down on you having to apologize so much. If you take time to take care of yourself, because I am not this guy when I'm out of balance. And I hate when I get out of balance.
Right. Now, there's some people, and we're not going to reiterate on this show. Just go back and look for it. The Love Yourself episode.
Yes. Yes.
So first, if you have issues with loving yourself, and you know if you do or if you don't. You know, if you choose to be in denial with yourself, that's sad. But you can literally be honest with yourself and be like, I don't really love myself. Go to that episode first, listen to that one, and then come to this one. Because if you don't love yourself, you're never going to see how you can have any balance in your life. And you probably have not ever really had real balance in mm-hmm. your life because you don't really love yourself. Now, for those who do love ourselves, and it is simple life. It's not, now let me say this, because I do want to put this platform out here. There are human beings, men and women, who have been through something in their past. And to not have the time or the room to think or care about that, they totally compile their entire life with everything to do to where they have no time to do anything. Mm-hmm. So an example would be, I went through a real bad breakup and I realized in that relationship, I spent a lot of time with that person. So that's time that's void now. That's time that I have to fill in that gap with.
Mm-hmm.
So I fill in that gap with, you know, training people to work out. So now on top of, you know, kids, career, and anything else I'm doing on the side,
mm-hmm.
the relationship part has now been filled with me training people.
Yeah.
So I really don't have time for anything. But the difference between you replacing, like, training or just working with the relationship is the relationship was something that you loved to do. It was a form of peace of mm-hmm. mind. It was something that brought you happiness.
Yeah.
You replaced it with work. Not saying that work doesn't make you happy. Not saying it doesn't bring you peace of mind. But it's still replacing it to where you have no time for a relationship at all. So there are some people out there that have totally crowded their lives up with everything going on, so they don't have time for a relationship. And it's really because they don't want to deal with the hurt.
Man, I'm about to say that. They're using those activities to hide from themselves. They're hiding from the situation in those activities.
Exactly. So if you are one of those people, we definitely implore you to go listen to the Love Yourself episode. Mm-hmm. You know, everything on that, what I just said, you'll find in that one. This is more so for, I'm not going to say more so for me specifically. I'm talking to people who just have a hard time balancing your life. You just have a hard time balancing your life. You have a lot going on, and it's been going on for years now, and you realize that, you know, 5 minutes here, an hour there during the week is just not enough mentally. Like, that's the only time I'm getting for myself,
and
that's just not mentally enough, and I need to do something else, but I don't know how to clear any type of time in my schedule.
Well, I got a suggestion. I know where it starts.
Where it starts?
It starts with a two-letter word.
What's that?
No.
Ooh!
Seriously, it starts with saying no to something.
Seriously. Boy, you're preaching real good, sir.
You got to learn to say no. The people who do the most are the ones who don't like saying no. And I don't like saying no, but I don't mind it.
Right.
You know, even when it comes to serving at the church, if I know I'm behind or out of bounds, I will say I can't get to it today.
Yep.
And I have no problem with that. I used to, but I don't.
Ooh. So before I even get to this little article, like legit. So my incomplete balance, what I thought was balance, was family, kids, work, church. That was my whole life, completely.
Yeah.
So once I started realizing that, like when I wanted to do something, you know, it was always time for me to do something with the kids, you know what I'm saying? That was always time. But for me to do something for myself, it always had to be when everybody was asleep, kids are knocked out, you know what I'm saying? And now I'm doing me, but I got to wait till like 10:30, 11, sometimes 12 o'clock at night, when everybody's pretty much asleep, to actually have peace of mind. Yeah. So, I'm a minister, so my church requires a lot of me back then.
Yeah.
Because I wore a lot of hats.
Yeah, I got you.
So, to create balance, I had to, like you say, say no to things that were dear to me. And it wasn't like I wanted to say no. I had to, in order to find time for me.
To preserve yourself, your sanity. Yeah, I get it.
So I took a no out of every... me personally, I'm not saying this is what y'all should do. I took a no from one no from each area that had my life consumed.
Mm-hmm.
And it was... And some no's were harsh for people to take, but they understood. Others were harsh, and they didn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't care. When I realized that my physical health was in jeopardy.
Exactly.
And physical health in jeopardy, meaning between being sleep deprived and not having no time to yourself mentally, it's going to start eating you up internally.
Yeah,
like, you'll begin to deteriorate within the inside. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm talking about my health, it wasn't bad, but I've realized that I realized that something wasn't right.
Mm-hmm.
And it was me being stressed out of not having no time to myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I literally, you know, took some time to. The first thing I did was tell everybody who got time that on this month and this day, I'm going out of town, and I ain't taking nobody with me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, at this time I was married. Wife, you staying at home? Kids, you staying at home?
The wife at home.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody stayed at home.
Yeah.
And it was for the first time, but I was like in my mid-30s for my first time actually really doing something for myself where I got on a plane and flew somewhere, you know what I'm saying?
Dope,
and on my own. But it took for me to be in my mid-30s for me to finally do something like that for my first time ever. But it took for me, and I only brought that up because you said two words no.
Two letters, no.
It took for me to say no in each of them areas to something that was consuming the bulk of my time. Now, I didn't neglect either area. I just had to make space.
Mm-hmm.
And make space was like, okay, this can't happen this day. We still got three more weeks in this month where it can.
Yeah.
But it can't happen in this day because I'm choosing this day to do me. You know what I'm saying? So that was mine.
And the way I worded it, and I still word it to this day, If it's me time, whether I'm working, whether I'm doing something for the church, whether I'm just spending time with my family, I'm sitting home eating a bowl of cereal, relaxing on my time.
Right.
If you call me, I don't mind saying I'm unavailable that day. I have no problem. That's how I say it. Instead of saying those lines, I'm not available. Can you look at the I can't look at the job today. I'm not available at the moment.
Right.
Most of them, I don't answer phone. When I'm not available, I don't answer phone. Why answer phone and say you're not available?
Let me ask you something. So what if it's something like that, but your job is an on-call job?
It's an on-call job, then that's different.
And now, it's an on-call job, but your job takes a good bulk of your...
Well, the on-call thing is tricky. There's nothing you can do with the on-call job. That's your job. You know what I mean? If you're on call, you automatically know. You can't say no to those.
So where do you suggest that you would find time in? Now, you're not always on call.
Yeah. When you're on call, you might have to just suck it up those days and kind of play it by ear. That's all I can say. When you're not on call,
Because when you're not on call, I believe that is... See, to me, it's easy. To me, that's the week you need to make sure...
If you're not on call, you can't... I'm not doing nothing at my job if I'm not on call.
Right.
I love my job, but I'm not doing nothing. They laugh at me because I get off at 3 o'clock. I say at 2:59, between 2:59 and 3 o'clock. Once 3 o'clock get here, y'all will not... My phone turns off at 3:01. I'm done with the job. If you need anything, we'll talk about when I come back. Because I believe in boundaries. I believe in you.
Right.
And it's not... that I'm harsh. I was like, I know myself and I know what I've been through. I know how I was. I kept my phone on for anybody and everybody, and I know where it got me. Stressed out, mad, hurting people's feelings because I'm just pulled in every different direction. Instead of just learning how to put those boundaries, No, I'm not available this time.
Right.
You know, because there used to be times I had to shut down for 2 weeks. I do a lot. It's not bragging, but I used to do a lot. I'd be stressed so thin. Plus, I got put out of my house before.
Yeah, I have. Literally. I mean, it's like nobody's his friend.
Yeah, I have.
But peace of mind.
Yeah, peace of mind.
That's his only friend
exactly.
At that time.
I had to put those boundaries. But Punch understood, though. He knew where it was coming from.
Yeah.
I'm the most welcoming person. When I'm in bounds, you can stay at my house and put anybody out. But when it's my time,
oh my gosh.
If you got to show up unannounced or you show up for emergency reasons, when that emergency is over.
Mine was an emergency reason. Yeah, that's why he said it like that.
When the emergency is over, there's no need to sit in the living room. If you're right, if I...
He wouldn't let me finish reading the article, y'all. Like, he literally stood up and stood in front of me and said, are you done? Are you finished? Is that it?
Let me explain the situation. This is one of those times I had worked a lot. I had no time for me. And I had made up my mind when I got off work at 3 o'clock, I can come home and change right into my pajamas. And that's going to be my me time for the rest of the day.
Right.
The Punch had some emergency that we had to dress that day. I asked him, did he have to dress it that day? He insisted yes. So when he got here, I explained the situation to him. And then when he's still lingering on the couch, after said incident was settled, I weighed up thinking in my mind, no reason for him to really be here right now. There's no reason for him to be here. Punch is my dude, but there's no reason for him to be here right now. So I'm trying to be polite by saying, are you done? Like, is there anything else you need? Are you done?
Oh, he said that, but the whole look on his face is, get the hell out of my house.
It was funny because I was sitting on the couch next to him. And after a while, I just got to the point where I stood up, like, kind of walked halfway between him and the door.
Right.
Are you done?
It was almost like a parent ready for they son's friend to leave.
Yo, it gets real, man. It gets real. I literally have to fight for my me time. I have to fight everything. My instincts, other people's needs. I like to help people, but you have to fight. So you got to be bold and strong and say no and really stand to your guns, even if it's punch.
Right.
You have to say
shut up, man.
But that was a funny day, though.
It was. I mean, I laughed because he had already explained to me how he was just trying to do nothing. He was just trying to go home. And he iterated how I got in the way of that. Him and his sarcasm let me know. And yeah, you're one of the people who got in the way of that. Well, I was like, well, mine's going to be short. I just need some documentation.
I may even have right pajamas quick. On when you came over.
He did, y'all. He had his jammy jams on. He ain't had no shoes on or nothing. Like, he did that purposely to remind me of where he was.
My phone's getting ready to get turned off. It could be nothing but me, a bowl of cereal, and TV on the couch, and whatever heck else I want to do until it's time for me to go to bed for real.
Right. So,
oh man.
So, I mean, I know everybody don't believe in the Bible. Everybody don't believe in the Word of God, but me and Steph do. So, you're going to get the Word of God when we're talking. So, in Hebrews, it actually talks, God is talking about rest. He's talking about how you are supposed to rest. And he ain't talking about, resting. He's talking about resting your physical body.
Mm-hmm.
Literally taking physical time out to rest and do nothing, which is the reason why on the Sabbath, which is a Saturday, we are supposed to do nothing.
That's my goal every Sunday. Well, I had to do it on Sundays at work, but that's my goal every Sunday.
Right. So I look at it like, you know, if you don't want to, I mean, I choose a day. Just choose a day. And honestly, I do understand that some people just, the way their lives are set up, they cannot take the entire day off. I feel like that's sad.
It is sad.
But I have been in that seat before.
You and me both.
You know, when me and you have both worked 6 and 7 days, 14, 16 hours straight.
Yeah.
So I get that. However, you still should take a portion of that off day to do absolutely nothing whatsoever, because it's just beneficial for you. The ugly part is most people want time. It's not even like most people are trying to stay busy so they won't have time for themselves. Yeah. Most people want it, legit don't know how to get it.
I agree with you. I agree 100% with you. Some people just don't know how to get it. We're so used to working this way, you don't know. It feels so abnormal to shut down or say no to somebody.
Right.
But it's small steps. Say no to something.
Yeah.
Say no to something. Say no to something. Well, my point is, I guess if you're that person who's really busy and your life is busy, you got kids, you might be a single parent, you know, now I don't know everybody's situation. Everybody might not have a strong support. They might not have grandparents around or aunties around or best friends they can come call, get their kids. But you have to be able to say no to something. My point is, if no one's going to die or is going to affect them for the rest of their life, then maybe you can say no here. Maybe the kid don't have to go to that one game out the season. They can miss one game.
Right.
One practice.
Right.
Something so mommy or daddy can have some time to keep their peace of mind. Because as a parent who has, actually I have about 7 kids under my house now, and it's a lot of practice. There's a lot of practice. There's a lot of games, a lot of back and forth. And I'm complaining right now because I got too many teenagers for nobody to have their own license. So therefore,
That's personal.
So therefore, I have to play chauffeur, which I don't mind, but it still takes time away. So I understand how hard it is when you got kids. But sometimes I have to say no. Can y'all find a ride tonight? Or if I'm planning, hey, on October 26th, can you get yourself a ride? Because it's going to be my day. I will not be available. Yeah. Let them know I will not be available. But at the end of the day, again, we are in charge of life. We have a choice whether we want to admit it or not. We have a choice. You can say no. You don't have to. Think about how do you not have time when you make your own schedule, in a sense?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to tell you to call out sick from your job, but you might need to call off a personal day. I'm going to tell this. Mom, sorry, I got to tell this story.
He said, Mom, I'm sorry.
And so, especially that she doesn't have a job now because she's retired, I can share this without her getting fired. But the only reason I know what R&R means is because of my mother.
Rest and relaxation?
Yeah, my mom would literally call off work all the time because I'm like, Mom, why are you calling up? You sick? Nah, I just need some R&R. That's how she would call. I don't know if she told her boss when she called in, but she would call in, I would say, at least once. Sorry, Mom.
That's he apologizing again.
Because I'm probably going to be in trouble. But at least once a month, she would call in for R&R. Like I said,
I ain't mad at that.
And it wasn't one job. It was every job.
Every job she had.
Since 95 until she retired. And as an adult who has kids and works a lot, I understand that. I schedule my R&R time. I don't call in one day. I don't wake up one day tired of calling. I literally will schedule a day a week ahead of time. Like, yo, boss, I'm not coming in this day. He's a personal day.
Yeah.
So if you work, especially if you work as much hours as that alleviates you from being able to take time, if you work a lot of hours, I'm assuming you work at a job that you do have personal time off. So take personal time for you. Another thing is, sometimes you might have to take a personal day and just not tell nobody. Tell your job, but don't tell your family and friends.
That right there is...
Because what that means to them is, oh, he's available.
Exactly. I would recommend that right there. Yeah. At least in the beginning, when you're really getting into getting you some time to yourself, don't tell nobody so you can really have time to yourself.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. And do whatever it is that you like to do when you're with yourself. You know, definitely don't reach out to those who are going to look at it like, oh, you can come pick me up. Oh, can you bring me this? Oh, can we go do that? You know,
not at all.
Right. Because now, and then some people, peace of mind is going out with friends because they don't get a chance to do that at all. So it's just doing whatever it is that you used to do that you enjoy, or doing whatever it is that you enjoy doing and getting back to it or starting it. You may have never even gotten it started. So, I found this article. It says how to make more time for yourself in 3 simple steps.
Come on with it. It's
by Elizabeth Feener, and she just put this article out September 7th.
Fairly recent.
Yeah, fairly recent. Prioritizing time to do the things for yourself will not only make you happy and keep you sane, but it will probably also make you more efficient when tackling the less fun aspects of your schedule and to-do list. Man, did y'all hear that?
That's like,
I mean, that's just good right there. Like, so if I know for a fact, you know, see, that's how my brain is like, I need some peace of mind if I got to handle that situation right there. Mm-hmm. It's gonna make a whole lot peaceful and easy to deal with.
Exactly.
That's pretty much get you some peace of mind. So when you tackling stuff you don't feel like dealing with, it's a breeze.
Mm-hmm.
We talked to some experts to break down how you can wade through the chaos and carve out some much needed me time. That's what I like to call it, me time or POM, peace of mind. Step one: step back for a second, figure out why you want more free time. You can't win a game you haven't defined, says David Allen, a productivity expert and the author of best-selling Getting Things Done. You'll be more motivated to change if you have a specific goal. Make a wish list. Write down all the activities that you long to do more of, whether they're things that make you happy, relax, sane, or all three. Rank the items in order of importance to you, then pick one or two to focus on. I feel like that's good. That's good. Once you get the hang of the system, you can address the rest. So pretty much, y'all, I think that's self-explanatory. I ain't really got to go through explaining it. Just write down three things that's important to you, and then start from the one that's more important, and then tackle that one, and then go to the other two. So the next one is write down how you really spend your time. Oh, write down how you really spend your time. If it's all one make, lunch, carpool, run around like crazy, blur, keep a detailed diary for a few days. You might be surprised by how little time you spend doing things you love most. The key question to keep asking is, are you spending your time on the right things? I like that. Step two is give up what you can. Pretty exactly. much what we just got from the say. Consider this. Devoting more time to what you love can help you get more done overall. Neil Fiora, a PhD doctor of psychology in Berkeley, California, explains, research shows that to be productive and creative, you must make time for recreation and relaxation. R&R. Recreation and relaxation. R&R.
Head of the game.
Yes, she was. Trying to skimp on them hurts your motivation and often leads you to procrastination.
Man, you better say that.
Man, that was good talk, right? Because I could say that was me at one point in time. Plus, being a little selfish will keep you from becoming burnt out or cranky. Now I'm a table
me.
That.
Ooh, that is me.
I'm a table that. We're gonna park a lot that for a hot little second.
Come on, for the past
3 years, I've been telling people I'm being selfish, and people have taken the word selfish out of context. It's not always a bad thing.
Yeah.
It is okay to be selfish with yourself, with your time, because you are you. So
exactly.
It's okay. It's okay to be like, you know what? I can't help you today. I can't do that today, and I can't do this today because I'm doing me. There's nothing wrong. I know the world projects it like, oh, you know, you a vain person. You got a vain spirit talking about you doing you and this and all that. It is very, you have to be selfish when your life is compacted with career, life, kids, marriage,
everything.
All that other stuff.
Yeah,
you have to be selfish to find time out for yourself.
I will say this person, I agree with you. Time is the one thing we cannot get back on this planet.
That's true.
So no one has the right to tell you what you are supposed to do with your time.
Right.
No one does. And I've been guilty of it, saying they should have been here, they should have done this, should have done that. But after a while, I felt convicted on it myself. Like, you know what? That's their time. They do what they want to do. I can't make them be here. I can't make them do this.
I really wish y'all were just, like, looking at us right now because Steph is saying that, and he has no idea that that's the next sentence.
Oh, wow. Okay, man.
Right, that's why I said that. I'm like, dude, like, you tapped in all the way. The next sentence literally is to find ways to free up time. Take a look at your list of current activities and ask yourself, four questions. What can I delegate? What can I outsource? What can I do less well at least times? What distractions can I limit, if not eliminate? So those are the four questions What can I delegate? Okay, so maybe you're 11 years old and can't load the dishwasher quite as well as you can. Hand over the task, and you've got 10 minutes to spend on something more fulfilling.
Get paper plates.
The fact that you're teaching your child responsibility with yes and occasionally an eye roll is a bonus. If you've effectively been handling most of the household duties, turn some of them over to your spouse. Try similar. Look, spouse, kids, if somebody's right, well, it's the household chores. Oh, it's like you were saying earlier how the kids got certain things they delegated to do.
Yeah.
So you don't have to do that.
Exactly.
Right. So if
that's the whole reason I had kids.
If you're home,
I'm kidding.
Right. No. I hope you was kidding. He's kidding, y'all. Like if you're home, but we do that though. Right. I ain't gonna lie. One of the reasons I want to have kids so I can pass the remote control.
I do that all
I'm
the
kidding,
time.
I'm kidding, y'all.
I do that all the time. I never want to be that parent, but I have been that parent.
I have, too. My grandfather did it. My father did it. I just wanted to do it to my boys a couple times to see how I felt.
How'd it feel?
Amazing. to purposely interrupt them in the middle of their video game to call him in my room to hand me the controller that was right about 2 feet away.
So let me tell you a story real quick because
I'm sorry, y'all. We sidebar. This is what we call a sidebar. We going to go back. But this is what we call sidebar.
This is what we call cross-talking for real.
Cross-talk sidebar.
Yeah. So my stepfather used to do that crap to me, too. He used to call me in the house. I used to be outside playing. He called me in the house. I used to get so upset.
That's how my father did it.
Stephen! I'm like, what? I go in the house. You get the remote for me? Or you give me some water out the refrigerator?
Right, right.
You know? And so one time he called me in the house. I had to ask. I'm glad he didn't hear my attitude.
Uh-huh.
He's like, Stephen! I was like, what? But he didn't hear me. I came in the house. I'm like, dang, what do you want now? And he gave me some money.
Oh, I know you was happy that time.
Yeah, so every time he called me after that, it never happened again. I was like, yes, what you mean, yes. And so I do the same thing with my kids. So most time I call them in the room, it'd be for something like, hand me a piece of paper over there, or right. Bring something for the fridge. Hey, yo, make me a grilled cheese sandwich. Then sometimes, like, here, here's $5. Thank you for everything.
Right,
They don't know where I'm coming with that.
Just because I want to say thank you.
Yeah. So I just always thought about that. Like, yo, so anyway, that just reminded me of that story you said.
Right, so that was a... I'm not about to go all into that. That pretty much what that's saying is delegate something. If you are able to delegate, even your workload, if you're a supervisor and you have people up under you, you know, delegate some of that workload that you would, you know, cause some people, even though they are managers, supervisors, some people just feel like I have to do the bulk of the work, even though I have people up under me. Like, you know, try to delegate that work out to other people so that you'll actually have time to do something else. What can I outsource? Household cleaning is an obvious answer, but also think about things like tutoring for your kids before you decide you can't afford. They're scrutinizing your spending. Chances are there's a way to relocate your resources. If you need more convincing, calculate what your time is worth, says time management expert Tim Ferriss. To get your hourly rate, cut the last 3 zeros off your annual salary. Then half that number. So if you make $60,000 a year, your hourly rate is $30 an hour. If it takes you 3 hours to clean the house each week, that's $90 worth of your time, he says. I'm calculating numbers in my head now.
Me too. Wow, I've been underpaid to do stuff I do around here. Shoot.
What can I do less? Well, when something you're working on is good enough, stop. Ooh, Steph, that's going to be hard for you to do. Oh, that's going to be, ooh.
What do you mean?
You don't believe in good enough. You believe in, like, excellent, like perfect, especially when you're trying to build something. Oh, that. Ooh, I'm glad you have balance because you would struggle with that one.
I would, but.
It said when something you're working on is good enough, dude, you don't do good enough.
Nah, I do my best, man. That's why I keep on getting the callbacks.
Right, but it says. Yeah. When you're trying to find time, when it's good enough, stop right there.
I got what you're saying.
Stop right there. It's a waste of time to do everything perfectly, such as polishing the underside of the banister, instead focus on doing the important things adequately.
Okay.
So, ooh, I'm glad because we would have to like close the show now and take prayer in the step and probably take step into prayer.
But in my defense, I build things. So I'm a carpenter. It's a trade, so therefore you don't want me just doing good enough when it's a deck and you're going to have it. Never mind. Either way. But no, I get it. I do. I have to good enough is hard to do, especially with me.
Right. So
everybody knows that.
The last one is what distractions can I limit if not eliminate? Shut the door. Seriously. If you have work to do, make it clear that you need to be left alone.
I have a do not disturb sign I put on my door, literally, when it goes on my door.
Oh, wow.
And so, I turn my phone off.
That's good. So yeah. At work, check your email only twice a day. That's not logical for a person who all their interactions with their company stuff is via email.
Yeah.
So this is pick and choose.
Yeah,
eat the fish, spit out the bones, people. Because I thought about somebody immediately was like, oh, my brother, he can't do that.
Yeah.
You're right. Check your email twice a day at noon and at 4 p.m. I found those are the times when you're most likely to have responses to your previous sent emails, says Ferris. Mm. And use the auto-respond feature when you're swamped. Direct emailers to an instant or with his or her permission or colleague.
Mm-hmm.
At home, give your phone a rest. As for TV, watch an episode of a show you love, then turn off the set. The average American spends 2.4 hours a day in front of the tube. But I wished I did too. But the investment yield spares rewards. Studies show that watching TV doesn't make people nearly as happy as activities that really engage them, like playing tennis, talking, taking a walk in the park, and eating with the family. And eating with the family is monumental to me.
The talking is monumental to me.
Right. So three, reschedule your schedule. Now that you've freed up precious minutes, decide how you want to spend your energy. Establish one or two non-negotiables at work, your schedule around them. Establish one or two. Both of those are non-negotiables that you establish and work your schedule around that. So if I ain't make myself clear, I just did. For example, 8 hours of sleep a night, which is what your body requires. Your body requires 8 hours of sleep.
Mine don't take it, though.
Seven is good, but eight is perfect, and I'm right there with you, Step. Like, I hate the fact that I don't sleep for 7 and 8 hours.
I wish I could. I go to bed on time to make that happen. It don't happen.
I don't go to bed on time. And then I think if I could sleep till like 1, 2, I'd still be up between like 8 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So 2 hours of exercise a week, one or one night out for fun. Suggesting that. And this is good, people. So me and Step talked about in the previous episodes about literally scheduling time, whether you're in a relationship or scheduling time for yourself. Now, this says establish one or two non-negotiables. So meaning you have to establish this within your own mind and don't budge from it. You know, and those were examples when it came to the 8 hours of sleep or the 2 hours of exercise and stuff like that. So pretty much find you two things that you and don't budge from it. Don't move from it at all and make sure you do it. It'll be good. Create your daily to-do list on an index card. The card forces you to focus on what's important. I like that. If you prefer to think in weeks, fill out 5 cards. Write down only what you can realistically accomplish in a day to 3 to 5 items. Then make sure at least one item from the top of your wish list is a part of your weekly plan. That sounds real good, too.
I love it.
Yes, that means writing in 30 minutes on a hammock with my book. Oh, she's trying to be funny. Trying to get somebody to get her a little book. That was a nice little slide in, girl. Peace to try to get somebody to get your book. That was. Tools to keep you on track. Okay, y'all. So I'm not about to finish. I gave y'all the bulk of everything. If there's more that you want to know on this website, go to Elizabeth Feener. That's ISFENNER. You can find her on Explore Real Simple website. And you can finish reading up the last, but it's pretty much giving you pointers and details and stuff on how to continuously keep your regimen going when it comes to making time for yourself. Steph, what else you got for me?
That's it, man. I think you gave a great... I mean, I don't have anything else to add. My biggest thing was saying no and making sure you turn that phone off.
Yeah.
Because as long as people can greet you, they will bother. Even if they're not trying to get you to do something, sometimes people can call you... And whatever they say on the phone, whether something going on with them, somebody else, it can take you out of your little space that you need. Sometimes you need to breathe from everything.
You do.
Time from life, responsibility is just take time for you. That's right. What I mean, like I said, I learned to turn my phone off. I learned to say no. Right. It took time. It wasn't just an overnight thing for me. And I know when I turn my phone back on, his life hit me back in the face.
Right. So at the end of the day, I'm going to say this, but some people is eat the fish spit out the bones thing, y'all. So there's some people who really need to put their phone down for the simple fact that your peace of mind is social media, and that's kind of like what your brain probably needs to rest from.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you now, one thing I do know a lot of people that are consumed with their whole schedule, life, school, and all that. But for some reason, they turn around and always on social media. Like, they ain't got time for nothing else, but they got their phone in their hand the whole time, and they stay on social media the whole time, and they be trying to figure out why their energy is negative or gossipy, you know what I'm saying, or just trashy, whatever the case may be. So, to those people, you should kind of put your phone down. Listen to the Erykah Badu song, I Can Make You Put Your Phone Down. You know what I'm saying?
There you go. There you have it.
Some people, and I said it to some people, because some people really don't pay their phones no minds. Their phone is strictly for when they're handling business, and you might need to get in touch with what's going on in the world.
Look, it's just a driving that people pick up their phone.
I mean, it's because it goes both ways. Yeah, I'm not trying to be biased. You know, it goes both ways. Some people don't have a clue what's going on in the world at all, because they don't do TV, they don't do anything. Like, they don't do anything at all. You know what I'm saying? Like, they use their phone strictly to talk on it, text, and that is it.
And that's how you properly use it, apparently. But yeah, I get you. Yeah, but yeah, you have to set those boundaries. That's the biggest thing I would say, again, is set those boundaries. Know your limits. Like they said, some things are non-negotiable. If my time for me is between 7 and 10:30 on this particular day, then I can't do it. Unless someone's dying or a house on fire,
I can't do it.
And it's not a rule thing. It's a self-preservation thing.
Right. Because you want to keep living.
Yeah.
And you want to live long. You don't
want to
be...
And I don't want to just exist. I want to enjoy the life I've given. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I always say, if too much work and not enough play makes one an angry camper. And those who've been around, you know, I work a lot. And so when I'm off, I am completely off.
Why did you sound like a white dude?
Angry camper, yeah.
No, that whole phrase.
The whole phrase. I didn't know. But either way, I'm serious, though, but... If I don't take that time off, if you work hard, I agree with the whole saying, work hard, play hard.
Mm-hmm.
I do, because it takes that for me.
But that R&R.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, y'all, if the army is what came up with R&R. Am I right?
I think so.
I believe. Well, let me be specific.
They use it in the military.
I've been here. Yeah, the first time I ever heard R&R, and the only time I really hear is I'm talking to somebody from the service. I don't know if they're the ones that originated R&R, but what I'm saying is, they talk R&R. You know, when somebody's on leave for R&R, you know.
Yeah.
But there's a reason why they have R&R.
Exactly.
If you think about just what they do for a living, you know, protecting you can't come from being out in the wilderness or on the field for 2-3 months and then expect somebody to go home and then take a shower, pack up, and go right back out there without giving them some time to relax their mental state,
mm-hmm.
along with their physical body.
All right, Push, we done told them enough. They got it.
All right, you got them shout-outs, man.
You know I got the shout-outs, man. I'm always excited to shout-out, you know?
He do. Y'all should see how he look, man. Wait till we get this live, man. Because we're going to get y'all like a minute live before we actually go on.
Yeah.
You ought to see how he be ant writing down all these names when he go on the app to see how many viewers we got.
Man. It's dope. I love it. I'm happy when we just get one. Because I'm thinking, hey, someone else is listening to us. Great. and they keep on listening, so that's a great thing.
Right.
All right, so without further ado, shout out to our cross talkers out there. Shout out to my moms down in Great Georgia. Shout out to our homegirl, Brandy, Alicia, November, Brenda. Anybody you want to get in real quick, Push?
Come on. Inez, baby. We love you for the pointers and stuff you've been giving
me.
Yes,
man. All right, back to the states that's listening to us. San Jose, California, Stone Mountain, Georgia.
All right.
Atlanta, Georgia, Norcross, Georgia, Forest Park, Georgia. Georgia's in the building,
Georgia's
people. Morrow, Georgia, San Jose, California, Edenton, Georgia. And another one's called Aliso Vejejo, California. I have no idea how to pronounce that, but it's in California. I spell it for you, A-L-I-S-O. V-I-E-J-O. We see you. We love you.
Yes.
This is Steph Swig.
This is Big Push.
Cross Talk
Radio.
Peace.